the stars are right, and that means it's time for another episode of The Whisper in Darkness. I'm your host, The Man from Lang. Thank you very much for joining me today. On this episode, we are taking a look at the neutral cards and basic weaknesses in the Return to the Circle Undone. There are spoilers throughout if you care about that sort of thing. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Just a quick reminder of how we rate cards here on The Whisper in Darkness. The best of the best get an Elder Sign, while the worst of the worst get an Auto Fail, and the cards in between receive a +1, +0, or Elder Thing, respectively. Before we get started, I'd like to thank the patrons of this channel for their tremendous support. The Arkham Horror LCG community is amazing, and these people have gone above and beyond to bring you content like these card reviews. If you'd like to support the channel's goals and see your name on this list, head over to patreon.com, sign up for a tier of your choice, and claim your rewards. That would be awesome. Without further ado, let's get started. There are a bunch of neutral cards in the Return to the Circle Undone box. The first of them being the Moon Pendant. It is a 2-cost asset that costs 2 experience points. Item and charm traits, you have 1 additional tarot slot. Each non-weakness tarot asset in your hand or committed to a skill test gains 2 wild skill icons. As a response, when the game begins, if Moon Pendant is in your opening hand, put it into play and it takes up an accessory slot. Seems like this is pretty important if you want to play a dedicated tarot deck.
Absolutely, yeah, this card is critical. Not only does it give you the extra slot, but being able to make your other tarot cards that you can't play or, you know, otherwise can't use into Unexpected Courages is super good.
We've talked a little bit about, like, who could play this tarot deck. I think, Lola seems like one. Safina, certainly. There were some early tarot decks that focused on Safina. Do you see others that would be interested in this sort of style of deck?
Maybe Dexter, because he has the ability to swap the tarots in and out pretty easily. Same with the accessories and the arcane slots if he chose to go with something like the Hierophant. Upon first glance, not really. Maybe like the Survivor build that I was talking about, where you play like 2 of the 9 of Rods and you try to manipulate the encounter deck. Off the top of my head, I think you kind of nailed all of the major contenders with Safina, Lola, and
It's certainly, I think this one opens up. I know when Anna Kazla was released, I think in the Clutches of Chaos, wasn't overly impressed with her, because while she gives you, I think, 2 additional tarot card slots and lets you go seek tarot cards, she is pretty fragile at 1 health and 1 sanity. So while there isn't a ton of ally hate in the encounter deck a lot of the time, it would kind of sucks if you have to assign a point of damage to her or a point of horror and suddenly your whole tarot card strategy goes up in flames. So having something like the Moon Pendant that is generally safe from most things, unless you have to discard it to a Crypt Chill or something like that, is at least it gives you a little bit of a way to protect yourself in case something bad happens. And of course, you know, adding those 2 wild skill icons to tarot cards is pretty sweet.
Yeah, and it's 2 resources and 2 experience, so it also doesn't cost a huge investment to put in your deck either, which is nice. You know, you don't want your facilitator cards to be expensive, and this is a good facilitator card for those tarot decks.
How would you rate this one?
I think this is a pretty solid +1 accessory. You know, it being neutral, it means it's accessible to every investigator, so you know, you have a lot of chances to try it out and see what works and doesn't work, and it's such a low investment that I can't see at least wanting to try it out a couple of times in various decks, and it certainly makes me take a second look at Relic Hunter and see what sort of maybe 3 tarot slot decks I can potentially come up with. So I like this card quite a bit, and I think it deserves its +1 rating.
Yeah, I'm kind of torn. I think if you're playing a tarot style deck, if you're building a tarot deck, I think this one is probably an Elder Sign. You're going to want this card, and if you're not playing a tarot deck, then you're never going to look at this one. So, yeah, I guess I think plus one is probably about right. It's just one of those cards that, it really goes in one particular deck, and if you're not playing that particular deck, then you're never going to look at this thing. But
But
in those tarot decks, it's very, very good.
and those tarot decks are very different from one another, so it's not like you're playing the same version of a different deck from investigator to investigator. I think the Safina tarot decks are gonna feel a lot different than the Lola tarot decks and, potentially the Leo tarot decks and et cetera, so.
Yeah,
So
for
you
sure.
get an interesting flavor, I think, with each of them.
The second neutral card in the box is the Fool, zero, unlimited potential, three cost asset, three experience points, tarot trait. As a response, when you play a card, exhaust the Fool, zero, to reduce the card's cost by one. Again, if it's the Fool is in your opening hand, you put it into play, takes up a tarot slot. Reducing the cost of a card by one or two, if you can get two of these on the table, isn't too bad.
No, it's pretty good. Especially in classes like Guardian and Mystic that generally have problems with resource generation, this can be a nice way to kind of curb that a bit if you get it in your opening hand. That being said, if you don't, this card becomes essentially useless to you.
Yeah, that, I think of all the I've said repeatedly that these are a little pricey if you don't get them in your opening hand, and this is definitely one of those that I think prices itself right out of the market because there's almost no way that you're gonna, unless you're playing a ton of assets, you're not gonna be able to recoup the cost that you put into this one. So
Well, it
maybe
does.
the Moon Pendant is very important if you're gonna play the Fool, just so you can tack on a couple of extra wild skill icons if necessary.
Yeah, it does at least reduce costs of events as well, so you can also use it for events. But yeah, it's also just limited by when you draw it in the game. If you don't see it early, then you're not going to be getting as much benefit out of it. So that's something you have to contend with. When you think about including this card in your deck, I think classes like Rogue and Seeker are probably never really interested in this card because they have better ways of generating resources or don't really need the resource generation. But I think Survivors, Guardians, and Mystics might want to have a look at this card, especially in certain builds like Dark Horse, where you don't have resources, but this helps you play cards anyway. You can play a lucky for zero with this card, so it's something to consider in those types of builds.
So how would you rate this one?
I think I'd give it a zero. I think it's decent, but if you don't draw it early, it's not going to do a lot for you, and if you're not building that like dedicated tarot deck, it's just going to be a dead card in your hand past maybe turn five, turn six. So
So how
I
does this
like the
one compare to Ace of Rods, the other neutral tarot card that we got?
Oh my goodness, I barely remember what that card does, so I think that
I believe it
probably
gives you an
speaks to.
extra action, one extra action.
Oh, that's right. I think this card is way better than that. Well, the one extra action can be really nice in those critical turns where you need to defeat a boss or investigate that final location. The Fool is just a card that helps your deck be more consistent, and I find that consistency more than anything else is what determines whether or not I win a scenario.
Yeah, I think I would give this one a zero. I do like the cost reduction on this one. If you can get it in your opening hand, you're going to save yourself a considerable amount of change over, if a typical game runs 12 turns, that's a lot of resources you've saved yourself. You'd probably need a way to get to try to guarantee that you get this one. So maybe, I mean, you go in and purchase Anna so you can search your deck for this one at the start of the game, or you play the Moon Pendant just in case you don't see this, so you can ditch this if necessary for to a skill test. But yeah, it's pretty good for those who have the expensive a lot of expensive assets like Guardians and Mystics.
Yeah, and I'm not sure exactly how this interacts with Lola and her roles, but at least this is neutral, so you might not have to worry about that as much, which is nice.
Yeah, I think I don't think it would interfere because I think she her role lets her play her class and neutral cards. So
So.
she should be all right. That brings us to Observed. It is a permanent asset that costs 4 experience points, blessed trait. It has the permanent keyword, so it starts the game in play. Limit 1 per investigator. Before setting up each game, draw 3 random cards from the tarot deck and choose one. Place the chosen card in front of you in the upright position. Each other investigator ignores its effects. Shuffle the rest back into the tarot deck. It's a fun card. I'll give it that. I'm not entirely sure it is an effective card. Given that there are 22 tarot cards in the deck, and you are going to get to look at 3 of them, which may or may not jive with whatever strategy that you have in mind.
Yeah, and for somebody like me that tends to like to keep the stuff on the table to a minimum, having to get the tarot deck out and go through this whole process every game just kind of makes the table more cluttered in a already pretty cluttered game. And like you said, like I don't know how beneficial that effect is even really going to be. And for 4 experience, like you really should be asking a lot more out of that experience because you worked hard to earn it.
Yeah, the 4 experience, like initially I thought, oh, 4 experience, maybe if you could buy 2 of these and then at least get 2 cracks at the deck, it might be worthwhile. But of course it's limit 1 per investigator, so that's out the window. I mean, we haven't looked at the contents of the tarot deck, but some of the cards in that deck are really, really good, and others are just not going to be of any impact on your game whatsoever. So chances are you'll get something okay, but I mean, really, you want to be buying this as early in a campaign as possible, since you're only going to get to use it, if you buy it after the first scenario, what, 7 more times, unless you're doing a bunch of side scenarios just to try to draw more tarot cards. But yeah, I agree with you. I think this is one of those, this sort of mandates that you're using the tarot card deck, right? And if you're not a fan of the tarot card deck, or you don't care about the tarot card deck, and you just see it as sort of just an add-on that isn't necessary, then yeah, you're not going to be all that interested in playing or purchasing Observed. The player in me who wants to win, who's looking for consistency in every game, will definitely be purchasing other cards before I purchase this one. How would you rate this one?
I don't want to give it an elder thing or an auto fail because it is doing something unique. It is a one of a kind card in the sense that it does interact with the tarot deck, and it is, I think, the only player card that does interact with the tarot card. But your mileage is going to vary so wildly on whether or not you actually like the tarot deck and how many scenarios you're playing. Like, imagine upgrading, you play Waking Nightmare and then you upgrade into this card and you use it 3 more times. Like, is that really worth the 4 experience at that point? Probably not. And I'm not somebody that's going to want to use the tarot deck a lot, so it's hard for me to come up with reasons to try to justify not giving it an auto fail.
I guess if you were fortunate and you picked this up, say after the first scenario, and then you were able to get the fool a couple times to sort of pay for it, the fool gives you +2 experience points, maybe. But then you've paid experience points just to earn those experience points back, so
Kind of like a Charon's Obol at that point.
you're not really gaining anything out of it. Yeah, this one's a tough one. It really depends on your view of the tarot deck. I'm not going to give it an auto fail. I'm going to go, I think, Elder Thing. I mean, it's a fun card. I could see myself, playing a campaign where it's just like, ah, screw it. I'm just gonna go all in on tarot, the tarot deck and just see what I can get out of it. But if I was planning on playing a campaign and I was really intent on trying to do the best that I possibly could, having some random effect happen at the beginning of every scenario is not really something I'm all that interested in. So, and a lot of players are in that same boat. They just want to win, and this card does not help you do that. There are some very powerful tarot cards that I would love to have at the start of a game, but there are also some stinkers in that deck that really aren't going to have any impact. And I guess you do get to pick three. So what's the odds of having all three bad ones in your all three bad ones in your choice? So I guess it
Yeah,
is
but
interesting that, Father Mateo and Roland Banks parallel can actually buy this card at the start of a campaign. So they can get a little bit more leverage out of it than anybody else can. That brings us to our first basic weakness in the box. It is Damned. Basic weakness, curse, omen, permanent. Before setting up each game, draw a random card from the tarot deck and place it in front of you in the reverse position. Each other investigator ignores its effects. Again, I think your interest in this card is going to depend a lot on whether you want to bother with the tarot deck or not. I believe there is only one copy of this in the box, so if you add this to the current pool of basic weaknesses, there's 40 plus weaknesses at this point, so your odds of drawing Damned are pretty small. I guess it's nice that it is a permanent, so it's out of your deck immediately. You don't have to worry about it. The downside, of course, being that you have no idea what this thing is going to do to you. Again, the power of the cards in the tarot deck tends to vary quite considerably from the best to the worst. So if you get lucky, nothing happens, or something very minimal happens. If you get unlucky, man, you could be really starting off on the back foot.
yeah, and unlike most weaknesses, you just can't plan around it, which is unfortunate. But, like you said, Man from Lang, it's all kind of dependent on your interest in the tarot deck to begin with. And I think for me personally, this probably will be a card I just redraw a lot of the time because I'm just the type of player that just doesn't really like all the extra gewgaws and add-ons, so.
Yeah, I'll probably throw it in the basic weakness pool, and I don't know, maybe I'll see it someday and have to play the tarot deck. But yeah, it's I don't like the totally wild chaos element. I mean, maybe if you're playing a chaos deck on that you build on ArkhamDB, this is just another fitting add-on to that sort of deck where you can just like, well, I already am playing a deck that's full of crazy stuff. I might as well just go all in and play Damned as well and see what happens from scenario to scenario. But I guess the downside here, unlike Observed, where you get to look at the top three, here you only get to look at the top. You only get the top card, so you're pretty much stuck with whatever you draw. Which does lead to some interesting situations because if you, say, have enough mental or physical trauma, you could draw, is it the death card or temperance, I believe, is the other one that reduces your sanity, which could potentially kill you before the game even starts. So I guess Roland players, beware if you've taken a lot of trauma from cover up. That brings us to the Devil 15, your Shadow Hungers. Three cost asset, basic weakness, omen, tarot. You cannot play assets other than the Devil 15 while it is in your hand. If the Devil 15 is drawn in your opening hand during setup, before or after taking a mulligan, you cannot replace it. It must stay in your opening hand. Talk about a terrible weakness to draw. Oh,
Seriously, holy
God.
moly. Man, I hated the tower. I thought the tower was one of the most brutal weaknesses in the game, but man, the devil just wanted to one up that card, I guess. This is absolutely brutal.
Yeah, there are very few decks in the game that run entirely on events.
You draw this in your opening hand. You're not playing asset. Not only are you not paying at playing assets until you get rid of this, but you've got to pay three resources and to get rid of this thing and an action. Three resources and an action to get rid of this thing. At which point you're probably not playing any assets anyway because you don't have the resources to pay for them. Like, holy smokes, this is awful.
Yeah, this card's brutal.
And there are two copies of it in the basic weakness card pool. So
that's not cool. I think unlike the tower, though, the Devil 15 is probably a bit more tame later in the game, where you don't necessarily need to be playing assets anymore. But man, oh man, opening hand, this card is absolutely brutal. But the tower is going to be the one that stings the most later in the game, especially costing four resources.
Yeah.
But now that there's actually more contention for the tarot slot, I think that's kind of another unsung stinger of this card as well, is that it takes up your tarot slot.
Mm-hmm.
So it can potentially bump out another tarot card if you happen to be playing the tarot deck.
Yeah. Yeah, this one definitely deserves an auto fail in terms of weakness power, because, man, I'm going to hate to see this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, if you get it late, you're probably better off, but you get this in your opening hand.
Yikes.
Man, Guardian and Mystics are just going to cry. Because I could see easily playing this in solo, drawing it in my opening hand, trying to get rid of it, and then you draw an enemy during the first Mythos phase, and you're just...
Game over.
You are done. Like, yep. Unless that enemy is incredibly, like, a rat's or something like that. Like, if you draw a Yithian Observer in extracurricular activity with this thing, you're dead. You're just dead right then and there. Because there's no way you're going to be able to deal with that thing.
Yeah, could you imagine getting the Devil and the Tower?
Oh. I guess theoretically it's possible if you do play the Circle Undone campaign and you drew the Devil as your basic weakness and then chose to... is it when you accept your fate you get the Tower as well?
Mm-hmm.
So it is a possibility.
There's also points in certain campaigns that make you add omen weaknesses. So this is an omen as well. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I believe in the Circle Undone, I believe after Wages of Sin or after Union Dissolution, you have to add an omen. It's like omen madness or something like that.
Oh, right.
So...
Yeah, this is a bad one, and I feel sorry for you if you draw this as your opening weakness, because as your basic weakness, because, man, especially if you're playing, like, it's probably not so bad in multiplayer. If you've got three other people at the table, they can probably keep you know, everything is going to be okay while you sort of get rid of this thing and then get yourself back on the rails, but in a solo format, this potentially ends your game on the very first turn. So that'll do it for the neutral cards. Any final thoughts, Nate? Not crazy good. I mean, there's some interesting ones for the tarot if you're playing a dedicated tarot deck, but I'm not too sure. I haven't really heard a lot of people talking about the tarot deck or whether they want to play with the tarot deck or whatnot. So I guess it really, a lot of these cards depends. If you're interested in the tarot deck, hooray. If you're not, well, you're probably not going to play those cards anyway. So
yeah, that's a pretty good summary of this pack. I know. I do think the Fool is interesting. I think the Survivor cards and the Mystic cards are interesting. The weaknesses are pretty brutal. Particularly the Devil is, well, it's no namesake. That card is absolutely terrible. So I wouldn't want to be drawing that in my opening hand. But, you know, I think overall this does make the tarot slot feel more complete, whereas I think originally before this expansion came out, the tarot slot didn't really feel justified in having its own slot, but now it has enough of a card pool kind of fleshing it out to make it feel unique.
That's going to do it for this episode. If you enjoyed what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. If you need to contact me, I can be reached at manfromlang@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter at manfromlang. Until the stars are right, keep your shotgun close and your elder sign closer. Take care out there, and happy investigating.